Hello, everyone. This is Thorne with podcast episode number one of WII FM, which means What's in It for Me Radio. And for session number one, we have Val Logan. And Val has been working for over 35 years helping people to empower themselves, basically by communicating with their inner self. However, there's a lot more to that. So once a person can open up the bridge with their inner self, then that allows communication with the world around you, namely key people in your lives. And there's so much more to what Val does. But if I were to summarize it in a sentence of the kind of techniques he uses, it's a variety, starting from somatic therapy to interpersonal communications. And now I'd like to introduce Val. And Val, can you help elaborate on that very short description of what it is, what kind of techniques that you use?
All right. Thank you, Thorne. Really appreciate your introduction here. To make it real for everybody, rather than concepts, which doesn't help us pay attention to our feelings, helps us shut them down. But oftentimes we have an inner critic telling us what we can do and not do. And many people know what that feels like. Usually it feels like there's somebody standing over your shoulder, and whatever you do, it's not going to be right. And we have internalized that feeling inside of us and copied other people, other authority figures from childhood. So that's the basic idea. And what I can do is hear in a person's voice how that inner critic is communicating, and help people to communicate with that inner critic. So the inner critic, instead of being a nemesis, a bully, that inner critic can become your best friend. Not right away, but slowly, over time, and learning to communicate with that part of you, you develop a good connection. And I help people do that, because I can hear in their voice where they're stuck, and suggest that they talk and have a dialogue with the inner critic. And then I monitor the dialogue by listening to where things are stuck in the person's voice and in the voice of the inner critic as well. And then I get the two of them to talk to each other, but not in the old way. The old way is like, what's wrong with you? Like, what to do? You don't know anything.
Yeah.
You're stupid and you're an idiot. That's the inner critic bully.
And then the comeback might be like, shut up. No, I got this. I'm going to be better.
Or leave me alone. I don't want to hear from you anymore. But the inner critic might shut up for a moment, but then later on, he'll pipe out again. Thought you got rid of me, didn't you? I'm going away that easily. I'm your conscience. I'm the power behind everything you do. So you have to obey me, listen and obey me. That's what a critic would try to do. So yeah, help people do the dialogue with them.
Uh-huh. And I guess you can't really get rid of them so easily. I mean, being along for the ride through our lives.
Yeah, well, as children, we learned to create that inner critic because we heard it from, like I say, parents, authority figures outside. And then we internalized it. The inner child says, oh, I guess I better obey this. So I'll just make a copy and keep repeating it so I'll never get in trouble again. Right?
Uh-huh.
The only problem with that is it doesn't end. The inner critic never says, oh, you did a good job. My job's done. Let me become your friend. The inner critic usually doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Why? Not without some help.
Why is that? Is there no communication going on between the two, the self and the inner critic?
Yeah, you know how you learn to tolerate.
Good time? Where's my gold star?
Exactly. You know how you learn to endure people when they're giving you a bad time about something and you don't speak up? At least as a child, older adults, people telling you, oh, they must be, and in your mind you're saying, oh, they must be no better than I do. So I better listen or I'll get punished or I'll be hurt or whatever. So we learn to listen and not to speak up. Because if we speak up, we get in trouble, punished verbally, emotionally, physically, So then we keep on listening to that inner critic. Here's the problem and here's the solution. Uh-huh. The inner critic wants to help us.
Ah, well, that's good.
However, the inner critic learned to do it in a negative way because that's the way it was given most of the time for many of us. Not always, but many times.
Uh-huh.
So the inner critic, just like our parents or authority figures, wanted to help us, but the way they delivered it was not helpful. It was punishing.
Oh, yeah. And as any parent knows, there are a lot of times when you want for this person that you love so much, you want for them to do better, but after you deliver the message of how they could improve, it doesn't always come across in such a loving way.
It's because usually that person, a parent, doesn't have a clue of how to do that.
Mm. Would that technique, once you're talking to your own inner critic and establishing, say, being able somehow to have a more caring, loving relationship in a way that the advice wouldn't be such critical advice,
mm-hmm.
inflection on critic.
It could be creative suggestions rather than critical advice.
Okay, yeah. And once you get that internally, can that then be applied to people in your key people in your lives? In your life?
It can be, as long as we practice it with truthful awareness.
Hmm.
For example, if the inner critic says, don't speak up, you're going to be punished. And you say to the inner critic, oh, I know, that's the way it was in the past, right? Oh, yeah, right. We're not going to let that happen again. Remember? I said, oh, yeah. But now I'm an adult. Now I have other resources. Now I can speak up in a way that's respectful for me and the person or people listening. And the other critic says, what? Actually do that?
Yes.
This is like a new outlandish communication to the inner critic that only learned it in the old punishing way.
And that's a turning point when the inner critic says, what?
Exactly.
So, how about if we have an example of one of these, some person who has exactly that going on, somebody that you've worked with in the past?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was working with this guy in Hawaii, with a Hawaiian Quest workshop there on the Big Island. And we started working with people, and I'd ask people what they would want to work on. And some people would say, oh, don't sleep that well. And I'd be listening, and other people would say other things. And I said, oh, sounds like there's an inner critic in there. And I would mention that to the person who wanted to work on himself. And he would say, no. I feel good about myself. He says, yeah.
Oh,
in yeah. every area.
This rings a bell.
That sound like somebody you know, Thorne?
well, actually, absolutely yes, and that would be me, because I remember that clearly. So at any point in the past when this has come up, and it's never been so clearly posed to me, that question, as it was in Hawaiian Quest when you sat there across... in this large, beautiful room, several feet away, in a small, tight circle of people who quickly became very close friends. And I recall me being very nervous about it, being actually a little bit resentful about that, being asked questions such as that. And then when it came up, that was really easy for me, though. The answer to that question, you asked a few revealing questions. There were a lot of them, but it only took a few for me to get our finger on this certain inner critic. And I recall clearly, like, no, I don't have any, I have a great childhood. I don't have any traumas, no traumatic stories. Beautiful, wonderful childhood. There's nothing there. We don't need to look there.
Yeah.
And as I recall, we moved on, and you got in a little bit farther, and then something came out that was not clear, and I felt like my chest was getting tight, And I felt like bolting, like getting out of that chair and running from the room. Like, oh, what? I don't want to answer that. Well, what's, I don't have time for this. And all these like little excuses started popping up. Like, and the thing is though, I was ready for that. So I noticed this part of me that was coming up with these excuses. It's like, I'm getting uncomfortable. I think, do I have to pee? You know, all this stuff. And I just looked squarely at that like, oh, that's my ego coming up with all these excuses. We're getting warm here. Just hang in there. Just hang in there for a little longer and see how long you can go with Val on this stuff.
Now, see, this is good because you see, when this starts happening, you are starting to realize there's something else that needs to be looked at in your own awareness. That was a clue for you.
Yeah, and I would give that advice to anyone undergoing this type of therapy and self-help is you will soon discover the part of you that starts repelling things like in an automatic kind of way. Like it just rises up and it's not conducive to you getting past that particular issue. I mean, there's just this kind of repel magnet that goes up. That's when I started to realize there is something there and that I should just hang in there for a little longer. It basically is a really good technique to discover where your issues are. When you like get resentful.
Like with a huge magnifying glass.
What's that, Val?
Like with a huge magnifying glass, right?
Oh, yeah, and I felt like it was burning me, you know? But then I looked at it like, no, this is just a few people in a room, and it's just Val asking me these questions that aren't that. They don't deserve this level of resentment I'm feeling. Yeah. That was my cue. That was my clue.
So here's there, the plot starts to thicken right here.
Yeah.
because the inner critic, so to speak, is used to being criticized. That's how it learned to be the critic.
Huh.
So when I start asking questions, the inner critic says, oh, somehow these questions are going to reveal that I did something wrong. And I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be ashamed. I'm going to be made wrong because I've made a mistake. That's what the inner critic is braced for. But we weren't being critical. But the inner critic was thinking, well, I got to make it up because sooner or later the shoe is going to drop and I'm going to be criticized all over again.
Is that why all of this stuff pops up? I got to pee. Oh, I don't have to sit for this.
Yep. Yeah, anticipating a negative coming on and coming through. There's going to be a negative. I know there is. There was in the past. I'm prepared for it. We got to get out of here.
Before it even happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't actually any negative criticism. There was no negative criticism coming my way. I can say I was there, you know.
You're
my inner critic thought.
You were the expert witness right then and there.
Yes.
So how does this relate to other people? Because we all have this automatic pattern if we're wanting to change something that hasn't been working for us as human beings. This is how we can relate to each other. So WIIFM, when it's in it for me, this is what's in it for you. Getting support, encouragement, guidance to change an automatic pattern that has been trying to help you, but by doing it in a way that your own inner child learned it, you become victimized by it. Still.
Yeah, I definitely can add there because after going through this with you, I look back at other experiences where I can see my autopilot kicked in and it limited my opportunity for growth.
Exactly.
Bolting, by going the other direction, by believing that I was being put on the spot for something when it really was an opportunity to discover where this blockage, these blockages lie within.
We're on the spot, but not in a critical way, in a kind way.
And so my reaction basically to summarize this, once we discovered the inner critic, what did I want to do? I mean, I really want to point this out that I enjoy working with you because not only did we uncover the blockage in the inner critic, but my reaction to that was, okay, caught you, inner critic. There you are. Go away. Shut up. I'm done with you. That didn't work.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't.
That really
didn't. Does anyone work out there relate to this?
Yeah. And so what it ends up being is, even if you're trying to stop it, you're trying very hard to consciously stop a pattern that comes up, your self-defense mechanisms, whatever it is, until you open up a dialogue with your inner self that it will kick in and it will protect you by doing this autopilot thing, which is no longer valid as an adult. You know, these patterns may have worked at some point in my life, but I was long done with it. It was no longer serving me for a long, long time. And I think an indicator is when a person has repeat lessons, the same lesson over and over, and it gets a little bit more intense each time because they have not changed yet. And they don't actually have the tools to do it. So they're trying to go at it through a brute force approach, which anybody can attest to who has been through this, trying to kick a habit, whatever it is. They try really hard, really, really hard, but they don't actually have the tool set to do this in a gentle way. It's like breaking in a horse by breaking the horse or by working with it in a loving way, you know, and you really want to be like the horse whisperer with your own inner self.
Exactly. That's what we're about. That's what we're after. It's a pivotal point, because when the inner critic realizes that we're actually here to help him or her, it's not a promise that's a setup and a manipulation. It's not a manipulation, it's a guidance. When the inner self, this protector, defender, recognizes there's a better way, and that better way, this particular inner critic can learn that better way, it becomes a different identity, a new role, a new part of him to learn.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. Yeah, because it's a very powerful part of all of us, and obviously because we know what power it can have over us, but it also can have an intensive a power of intuition and creativity and all of these things.
Yes. So we just have to turn the corner and bring the used to inner critic into the helpful ally.
Oh, well put, Val. Well, with that, I think perhaps we should wrap up episode number one of WIIFM.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I thank you very much, Val, for that work and for this interview.